soon. Now, bye. You got the time, yeah?
And here we are on Cheap Pooch Radio.
Am I also here?
You're also here.
I'm also here.
We are both here on Cheap Pooch Radio. This is Island Girl, and I'm here with the lovely Holly Hooch.
That's me.
And Joey von Frankenstein is lurking in the background.
Smoking like a cool dude outside.
Like a rock star, we hear.
Up against the building, looking up like nothing but trouble.
Tell me the rock star story.
Oh, from earlier today?
Mm-hmm.
There was what seemed to be a homeless lady watching us walk down the street, and she looked at him, and she got this look on her face, and it took a couple of clicks, and then she was like, "Hey there, rock star! There's a rock star and his lady," and then we just kept walking, but he was smiling.
That's great.
He's sporting his brand new black denim jacket with his brand new skinny black jeans, pulling a Johnny Cash today, and people noticed.
That is adorable. I love it. Well, you know, maybe tell us a little bit more while I get the music set.
I was, sure, I can retell it. We were walking down the street.
Singing doo-wah, diddy-dum, diddy-doo.
It was directly in front of Jim's place that, I'm so sorry to put this place down, but I've been there twice in the last 20 years, and that was twice too many times. Anywho, that's where it took place. Both the jeans and the jacket are Levi's. You know, represent San Francisco there. Good stuff. He needed new clothes. It's been forever. He was looking like a pauper. So I was like, oh, you know what? Let's dress up Mr. Ken.
All right. We're ready.
Okay, let's play some. Wait, we should talk a little bit about what the show's going to be like today.
Angry punk women.
Angry punk women. Yeah.
And here's the godmother of them all, Patti Smith.
Yeah.
Patti Smith.
Mirror in the hallway. The boy looked at Johnny. Johnny wanted to run, but the movie kept moving as planned. The boy took Johnny, he pressed him against a locker. He drove it in, he drove it home, he drove it deep in Johnny. The boy disappeared. Johnny fell on his knees, started crashing his head against a locker. Started crashing his head against a locker. Started laughing hysterically when suddenly Johnny gets a feeling. He's been surrounded by horses, 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 coming in all directions, white, shining, silver, studs with their nose in flames. He saw horses, 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 horses. Do you know how to pony? Like Boney Maroney. Do you know how to twist?
Switch blades for birds.
There's a mare, black and shining, with yellow hair. I put my fingers through her silken hair and found a stair. And I didn't waste time, I just walked right up and saw that up there, there is a sea up there. There's a sea up there. There's a sea, sees the possibility. There's no land but the land. There's no sea but the sea. There's no keeper of the key.
There's a wall of possibilities.
Possibilities, one who seizes possibilities.
There are several walls
of
possibilities up there.
Sees the first possibility is the sea around me. I'm standing there with my legs spread like a sailor. I felt his hand on my knee on the screen, and I looked at Johnny and handed him a branch of coral flame in the heart of man. The waves were coming in like Arabian stallions, gradually lapping into seahorses. He picked up the blade and he pressed it against his smooth throat, spewing, and let it dip in the veins, dip in to the sea of possibilities. Dip in,
it started hardening
sea,
in my hand,
to the sea,
and I felt the arrows
of possibilities.
Of
I put my hand inside his cranium. Oh, we had such a brainiac no more, but no more, no more. I gotta move from my mind to the air. Go, 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 gotta go and do the what you see. Yeah, do the what you see. You go and you shine open. Coiled snakes, white and shining, twirling and circling. Our lives are now entwined. We will fall. Red stream went streaming through the sands like fingers, like arteries. Sits between
like fingers,
the eyes of a horse. Lay pressing it against his throat. Your eyes,
he opened his throat.
Your
his vocal cords
started shooting like of a horse.
Glands,
screaming made
in
my heart so high,
my heart
that nobody heard, no one heard that cry, no one
Johnny.
Heard the butterfly flapping in his throat, nobody
his
heard, he was on that bed, it was like a sea of jelly, and so he
wrote.
Seized. His vocal cords
shot
up possibility.
Mad
pituitary glands. It was a black tube. He felt himself disintegrate.
Nothing happening.
Go inside the black tube.
So when he looked out into deep.
On the pocket meeting, leaning on the pocket meeting, to go out with you. So when you smiled, I laid my heart in the line.
One, two.
Me that law like wine is useless. Public defender, you had to admit you wanted the love of a sex offender.
Thank you. That was a national anthem. Now, for the first time ever anywhere on San Francisco radio, almost maybe, our keyboard player will almost maybe say, wait, let's hear it for Jimmy.
Thanks for the rose, whoever gave it to me.
Sun, like the sun upside down, driving head first into counting down. gave me the it. We were texting for a bit, then we went on a date.
Cinema!
You're listening to Cheap Hooch, and that's Nico in the background.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that was some punk rock music that we
heard.
That
was so fun. We were commenting during that set that I remember having the idea of like, oh, I want to do a whole show of just women in punk.
Like back in the early days of Cheap Hooch.
Yeah, back in the early days of Cheap Hooch, which we're talking about 09, 08.
Ooh. So fancy.
And I remember thinking like, okay, we got Blondie. Okay, we got this. We got Patti Smith. Because you don't want to do a whole show of just, you know, the 80s, 70s.
Late 70s, early 80s.
Right. You want to do something
women.
More current too. Then I was like, we were running dry. I mean, there's always been, you know, bands with women, punk rock women doing, you know, awesome things, but they weren't super famous and we didn't have their records and we didn't have, you know, access to their music. It was just like, oh, that local band or blah, 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 or I saw these girls in Austin, I saw these girls in Tucson. But but now, like, you know, now that we sorry that we use Spotify, but now that we do that, like, it's easy.
Well, one of the things, I mean, it's not an advertisement for Spotify because fuck them.
But also, sorry.
Yeah. What I really appreciate is the access to international punk music.
Right. Fantastic. And the variety and the diversity, and it's fucking great.
Yeah. It's totally true. But you must tell me one of the stars of this set was that Lambrini Girls album.
Love
or
them.
Song Big Dick Energy. But what was the song that you
I played it 2 or 3 weeks. It was when I did the Cream set, which, oh, honestly, I forgot to post, and I'm really sorry. Maybe I should do that. It was the name of the song is God's Country, and it's got this great cute line like, Great Britain, are you sure? I'm like, you adorable bitches, I love you.
That is amazing.
Yeah, they're great.
I understand they're coming to town.
No.
Yeah, the thing is, it was one of these things. There were so many things happening.
Yeah,
but so it may already be sold out.
No.
I don't know. I have no idea.
You know, I was...
Maybe you and I were the only ones that know about them.
Oh, my God. Let's find out. Then we can be friends. I'm sure they're, like, in their 20s, and then we can be, like, mentors, I guess. I don't know.
We can also be friends. I have an 87-year-old physicist friend, so...
Oh, my gosh. She's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Russian lady.
Yeah. I know an 87-year-old Russian physicist, and
she's fucking amazing.
She is a much better dresser than I am.
She dresses like a queen every day.
Yeah. It's really good. It's really good.
We're not gonna dox her on.
We're not gonna talk. Say her name on the air.
We'll just say she's amazing.
Maldoror.
And I remember my favorite part about. I had a really wonderful New Year's Eve at the Ox Lodge, which is our.
I also had a wonderful.
It's our go-to New Year's Eve party to go to the Ox Lodge. Please look into it. It's fantastic. Great band. Get drunk. Great fun. At the very end of the night, she was there again. She's an older lady, and she was partying down, and she was still hanging out. And I ended up next to her at the bar, and we're both dressed to the nines. Like, we're looking fantastic. I was wearing a velvet gown. I think she was wearing a black one with, like, little stars all over her. And she had a veil. It was incredible. And we started sitting there, and we were talking about, like, 80s Russian, like, policies. Government policies.
Right.
And, or rather, she was talking about that, and I just had my chin on my palm.
Wow.
Just like I was telling
me more.
Like I was taking in a TED talk in a fucking gown in front of a champagne glass. And then this really nice lady that I also know from the Ox Lodge came up and she wanted to join the conversation. And in my head, I was like, there's only one rule. You got to let her talk. And she was like having a regular conversation. I was like, you got to go. And when I see her again, I'm going to buy her a drink because I did send her on her way. I was like, I never get a chance to talk to this lady, and I'm just gonna focus on this. And you need to go away. I didn't say those words, but that she got it. I hope I didn't hurt her feelings because she's a really, really cool chick. But I was like, no, this is my time right now. This is my time with the Russian physicist who's 89, who dresses like a goddess. You gotta go. And like we sat there, and I just listened, and I can't even remember a word she said because I was pissed drunk.
Yeah.
But I remember I was in fucking heaven, and like I was thinking to myself, like, what a great end to the night, you know, after having a night just dancing and listening to great music and hanging out with friends and looking great. What a great, you know, opportunity to listen to this really incredible lady, like, tell me all about her experiences and her knowledge, and it was great, and I loved it. All right.
Did you really love it, though?
I loved it so much. It was great. I can't wait for the next opportunity, because she comes around pretty frequently. She's very social, and she's always looking
pristine. She's good. She wants... Yeah. I feel like I should give a shout out to a few of the songs I played.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah. So the version of X Offender by Blondie I played is from a show they did at Winterland in San Francisco in 1977.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. The band Panic Shack did the ick, and they're one of these itty bitty bands mm-hmm. that have 800 Spotify followers that
oh, that's great.
Really like the song.
Yay!
You know, makes me so happy.
That's Spotify is definitely a double edged sword.
Yes.
It's really painful that they're, you know, screwing so many artists, but then it's like you never would have heard of any of like 90% of them otherwise.
Yeah. And then Linda Lindas, who just toured with Green Day, and it's interesting about Linda Lindas because unlike some of the other bands of young women that have been promoted for being all that or whatever, the Linda Lindas are writing great songs.
Yeah.
And, there's bark behind that bite.
Yes.
Or bite behind the bark, I should say.
I will not let the word yas die. I will single-handedly keep it alive. Yas, Quain.
Keep yas alive. We must keep yas alive.
It's fine. I don't hang out with cool kids. Wait, no, I hang out with very cool people, but I don't hang out with cool children. So, yeah. You know, it's cool for me to say yas.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, hey, why don't we get back to the music?
Yay!
And we'll think of more things to talk about.
I have so much stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, Tesla protests.
Oh, my goodness. So, okay, so the two things that I want to talk about today, if we get the time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, we've been away for a little bit, so we can talk a little bit about, I don't know, vent a little bit, or maybe if we feel like we don't want to vent a little bit, that's okay, too, whatever our brains feel like it, right?
Right.
But then on top of that, I've got the list. Bay Area, excellent. So we can look at some of the shows that are
happening
next
week. There's a lot of good. May is insane.
Ooh. And, I mean, it's warming up, so it's starting to get hot as shit, if you know what I mean.
There's a week in May when I'm going to three shows, back to back, boom, boom, boom.
Damn.
And I'm like, what did I do to myself?
You know what? Okay, so lately, I'm so exhausted all the time. I can't go to weekday shows. I gave myself that rule. No weekday shows, because the last time I had a weekday show, like, I was wrecked for the rest of the work week.
That's why I moved here, so I could go to weekday shows. So when I was younger, like, I would come here for shows on Saturday or Sunday, or Friday or Saturday.
I just like
maybe Thursday. But I had friends who'd be like, oh, you know, next Wednesday, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds are going to be at the I-Beam. And I'm like, I have to work.
I have so many stories of the great shows that I've missed because I live in San Francisco. Like, I have the vivid one that I have in my brain is the one of Joey and I sitting in our apartment. It's raining buckets. And we're cozy in our apartment, laying down, watching TV. And we're seeing all of our friends posting that they're standing in line at the Great American because they're waiting in to go see Prince's late night show.
Yeah.
So after he played the Oracle Arena in Oakland, he came and he was going to play a show. And it was all like, you know, word of mouth. And it was like a 2 a.m. show. And people were waiting out in the rain, passing around a bottle of fucking whiskey. They waited for hours. And when they finally got in, they got this amazing show with Prince.
Yeah.
And like he like played for like a couple of hours. Like it was a legitimate awesome show. And it was and we were like on our couches going, meh, we'll catch him next time. And then there wasn't a next time.
And then he died.
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard about that and did not go wait in line because we were going on a vacation that seems so unimportant now after he died.
The worst part about living in San Francisco is missing out on so much shit because you can't do all the shit because you can't possibly do all the motherfucking shit.
No, it's true.
All right.
But I do, you know, I do try to go to the shows I really love on the weeknights because that's why I'm here. I just try not to drink on the weeknights.
I'm going to, I guess, start doing cocaine or something because, I mean, I don't know how else I'm supposed to be doing all this awesome things and then go to work the next day.
Or leave early. You can always leave early.
That never works. Every time I walk into a bar and go, okay, I'm only doing soda and bitters today, it turns into like an all-nighter.
Who wants shots?
Who wants shots? I'm paying. Oh yeah, and the other thing I want to talk about today is that we found that great website that has a protest that we can go to.
Oh yeah,
and there's hilarity ensues. No. So,
You know, we can bring it. You can tell Maldor offline.
I can tell him offline, and then we can talk about it when we come back.
When we come back,
but it's great because I mean like. Oh, let's get back to the music. I've been hearing myself for too long.
And you sound great.
Thank you. Punk rock. Chibooch.
Do you have a sister? Will you lay your body down in the traps? We'll be right back.
Should I start this with another cliche, or how does the story go? I've worn a mask every day, you pee behind, now I wanna go. And the cards are stacked and the house is packed and I wanna go home. And the cards are stacked and the house is packed and I wanna go home. Everybody's got time. Everybody seems to have so much time. Everybody seems to have so much time, but I'm wasting mine. I swear to God, I'm the only fucker in this place who isn't doing fine, and I'm not fine. You're the introvert, the swap and goes. And the cards are stacked and the house is packed and I wanna go home. We've spoken every day for 8 years, what do I do when you're gone? And everybody's got time. Everybody seems to have so much time. Everybody seems to have so much time, but I'm wasting mine. I swear to God, I'm the only fucker in this place who isn't doing fine and I'm not.
Me to work late, but I'm all done. Off the clock, punched out, time for fun. You ask me where I'm going, so I tell you the truth. Jimmy boy, I'm going to a friend class. Kind regards, that's wishing. Hey, shit. Yours truly is unsaid. This bitch. I'm different now, Jimmy. I'm in my power. I respond to your email at a reasonable hour. At a reasonable hour. At a reasonable hour.
Bye. dream lover, so I don't have to dream alone. Every night I'll make great. Dream lover will come my way. Soon I'll hold in my arms. Feel the magic undertone. Cause I want someone to call my own. Want a dream lover so I don't have to dream alone. Dream lover, where are you? With the love of love so true.
Stuck on your back.
called the lovely Janet Kay.
That was nice. I like Janet Kay. Yeah. I like Janet Kay.
So I first, I mean, this song came out in like the late 60s, early 70s, nice. But I watched the, there was a series of short films about black culture on, I think it was Netflix, and this one was about a rocksteady community in London.
Nice.
And it was the first time I heard this song, and I was like, oh my god.
Nice.
No, it's beautiful.
This is lovely.
It's and it's a whole it's called Lover's Rock, the
Lover's
style.
Rock. Oh.
And it is a subgenre of reggae.
What's the name of the song again?
Silly Games.
Silly Games, okay. I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, so we heard let's see if I can call it up from thin air. We heard Second to None by the Avengers, San Francisco punk rock band fronted by Penelope Houston that opened for the Sex Pistols when the Sex Pistols played Winterland and put on a better show.
Oh.
Because wow. The Sex Pistols didn't survive their show at Winterland.
Wait, what? They're texted. I'm like, what?
Yeah, the Sex Pistols played at Winterland, a former venue here in San Francisco,
and
Avengers opened for them, and I think they played three songs,
okay,
and broke up on stage.
Oh my god, how dramatic!
And well, I think.
I love that. Well, you don't want to experience it, but it's incredible to watch.
Yeah. But Johnny Rotten said, like, basically they stopped playing, and then Johnny Rotten said into the mic, "You ever feel like you've been cheated?"
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it was poetry, really.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, I mean, hand it to him to make it into an iconic moment in rock history.
A band breaking up on stage is absolutely devastating. I mean, it's actually emotionally devastating. It's really, really bad.
I think the punters who paid, you know, $9 to go to that show were disappointed.
No, are you kidding me? Like, that show was worth a lot more than fucking that. Because, I mean, it's also, like, that's front stage to somebody's, you know, heartbreak. And right. It seems scummy to say that it's worth money, but it's you're never going to get closer to anybody, other than that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, so it's scummy to say it out loud like that. But I'm just on the band side, it's devastating and sad.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you just got to look into somebody's soul.
Yeah. And well, I mean, the Smiths.
It's rough.
The Smiths and Suede blew up. Broke up as a result of, like, the bands found out via the music press.
No. Oh, that's fucked up. I mean, shit. It's crazy how much being in a band... Well, being in a band is being in a relationship, period. Like, yeah. There's no fucking separation. There's no distinction. There's no qualifier. It is being in a relationship. And when a band breaks up, it is a heartbreak.
Yeah, and music is also a... Like, we don't really talk about it because it's so normative to our lives, and everybody who listens to music, even if they don't care about music much, it just connects to a part of their brain they don't think about.
Music is physical. Music is touching your fucking body and your vessels and your blood and the rhythm of your fucking heart. It's touching
everything.
It's
part of being human is what music is.
There's some people that somehow don't connect to it, and I've never... fucking, you know, befriended one, but but you know, there's some people that connect to humanity in different ways, for absolutely sure. There's a lot, there's a large part of the population that, like, connects to music loosely, and that's cool, that's fine. And then there's,
they don't all have to be obsessed as we are.
Exactly. There's other ways to connect to humanity, of course, but music, I mean, like, honestly, every friend that I have is plugged into it. Every friend that I have is physically connected to music, and it'll kill them, or it'll help them live longer. And it's I was gonna say proud, but I guess I'm not. But it's just, that's just what it is. That's the people that we are, and if I'm aware that I'm sounding elitist right now, and I've got my fucking hands on my fucking, like, you know, waist right now, like a power pose, because I don't give a fuck. Ooh, your mic is turned off. Check the cables. You're not coming through.
Oh my god.
There you are. There you are.
Something got...
There you go. There you go.
Something got disconnected.
All right. So I was talking about being an elitist, and you were going to say what?
I was going to say that, you know, we are most fortunate to have...
it's a privilege. It's
musical
a fucking
connection.
Privilege.
Yeah, I mean, because I feel like it's something... You know, my family, my immediate family that I grew up with, there was not... Music was not a huge part of it.
Neither was it with mine, actually.
I was the weirdo that, like, collected records and went to concerts. Like,
I was the different one. I mean, with my family, music is a huge element. For those of you who don't know me, I am Mexican. And so, like, music is a big part of the parties. But it's also, like, very, like, even though it's a big part of the parties and, like, music is everywhere, it's so... interesting how, like, it could be in every one of your parties, and by that I mean, like, you're hiring a live band. You're hiring either a trio or maybe a slightly larger one if you're having a bigger party. And we're talking, like, baptisms, we're talking birthdays,
right?
We're talking family reunions. We're not talking, like, weddings for sure. I'm just saying, like, even the smaller parties get live music,
right?
Or you get, like, a sound system. Music's always going. It's banda music. It's that shit, right? But in terms of, like, I'm going to put my headphones on and I'm going to connect to this music every day. And, you know, like, my mom, like any Mexican mom, was, like, always cleaning on Saturdays and Sundays. She didn't put on music, actually. Like, that wasn't a thing for her.
Wow.
Which is fine.
No, of course. But
that's also, like, a thing where people are like, oh, my mom would put on the music on Mondays, and that's what you know was cleaning time. That actually sounds really sweet. But she wasn't one of those ladies, and that's cool. But I was the one that was like, yeah, like, I would put on headphones, and, like, music would, like, take me somewhere else. And also, it would take me, like, into different cultures where, like, I was obsessed with Elvis when I was fucking
Elvis,
10.
Elvis, man.
I saw a picture in a magazine.
Little less conversation,
oh,
a little more
God.
Action.
Dear Lord. Yep. And so I've been pretty obsessed with white music and black music and on top of, like, my Mexican music. So it's like it's a little different than, like, my family. But you were saying, like, you were also, like, the one-off.
Well, no, I mean I'm, like, basically suburban white jerk, you know, and we would never have a party with music. Like, with
oh,
the family,
wow. Okay.
Never, ever have a party with music. That started with me. But my parents had records. And my dad liked
nice.
Military marches. And my mom liked Helen Reddy and John Denver. But when I was... when I started listening to music, I discovered a copy of Rubber Soul by the Beatles in the stacks. You know, they had a small stack of records. And also Billie Holiday was in there.
That's awesome. That's wonderful.
And I put on the Rubber Soul, and I knew all the words to that album. Because I knew it by heart. Because my sister, it was a gift from her best friend. And she played it all the time for a little while. And when I was like 4 years old. And so when I put it on when I was 10 or 12... I knew it already, and that was really eerie, but it's still my favorite album by the
wonderful.
Beatles because
yeah.
of that. But, you know, I was going on that journey on my own because my parents really didn't care.
Yeah, same. I mean, I when I was a kid, I remember I was really drawn to classical music, and it's funny because I was a difficult child, I guess you could say. I would always...
You're amazing.
Thank you. I would climb fences and, like,
dig
oh my holes.
God.
And basically, not a child you could rely on in terms of, like, don't fucking break out of the house. And I remember, like, listening to classical music. I remember this one time where we were in this junkyard that my dad had driven us to because he had to do some business about getting some parts because my dad was an auto mechanic. And so my mom and I were in this car, in this fucking hot-ass car in, you know, Phoenix, Arizona. And she's just trying to keep me entertained, and she's, like, flipping through channels in the radio. and she found like this classical music station, and I was literally bouncing, like I was jumping up and down in the back cabin of the truck. And when she put on this, like, you know, music, it was piano, classical music, and I, like, all of a sudden, like, I sat down, and I was like, what is this? And then she was like, oh my God, something's fucking working. And then she got me into piano lessons, and so I got into that, and then I got into, like, you know, Elvis-style, you know, rock and roll when I was, like, 10 or whatever, and then, because that was available, because that's the other thing, it's what's available, right? So this is, what, 1980s, late 80s.
There's nothing wrong with Elvis.
Yeah, there's nothing fucking wrong with it. I mean, no. There was a lot wrong with Elvis.
No.
There's nothing wrong with the Elvis, with the music Elvis made. Elvis made, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Elvis's music, I guess.
There we go. That's what we should say. We should qualify.
His life, challenging. His music, yeah. Amazing.
Yes. And so, but that's the thing where, like, I didn't listen to punk rock until I think I was, like, 19. And that's really late to have your punk rock awakening. Usually you have it at, like, 13, 14.